Lord Jesus, I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. And my spirit is perceiving. You're really going to teach me something. And I will hear. And I will understand that you are on my case. And you're going to finish everything you've started. In Jesus' name, I pray. I am going to take you on the Passion Translation, and I heard loud and clear, Hebrews chapter 10. So if you want to take a little bit of a adventure, Hebrews chapter 10. There are times that Holy Spirit impacts us so that we can see ourselves, and then we try to fix it. Anybody got a fix-it issue?
Instead of letting him fix it.
Huh?
I mean, instead of letting him fix it.
Well, there's two verses that I want to give you that, you know, will show you where we are going. So it's Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to just take a peek at verse 15, 16, and 17. Okay? Afterwards, well, the Holy Spirit confirms this to us by this scripture, for the Lord says, afterwards, I will give them this covenant. I will embed my laws in their hearts and fasten my words to their thoughts. I will not ever again remember their sins and lawless deeds. So, verse 16, I will give them this covenant. I will embed my laws. Notice it's not you. So when you are the one that's pushing those buttons, what happens? You're canceling God's abilities because you're deciding to do it on your own. So he says, I will give them this covenant. I will embed my laws into their hearts and fasten my words to their thoughts. Who's going to fasten his word to my thoughts? He will. Verse 17. And then he says, I will not ever again remember their sins and lawless deeds. So if there's a reminder in your thought pattern that you're guilty of this and you're guilty of that, you know that's one of those sneaky demons. Okay? Because it's not God. God is not going to remind you of what you did wrong. Why? Because he won't remember, and you need to stop remembering. So now that identifies those family demons that you advertised on a few minutes ago. Okay? You reminded me of what I went through when I was turning 39. My brother, who lived in town, had a major coronary thrombosis in New York City just before Christmas. 3/4 of his heart exploded away. That's 75%. Okay? So there was 25 functioning. And I began to have chest pains. And I began to wonder, why am I having chest pains? I don't have a problem. Oh, you're going to be just like your brother. See, that family demon actually killed him by the time he got 44. So he lived 5 years after the first major. But I also watched what he did for those 5 years. And they were not good, godly choices. Okay? So, the enemy was on my case because the pain was inflicted by him into me, making me believe a lie. And if I would have said, I need an appointment to go get a doctor's appointment and get my heart checked, what do you think would have happened?
You'd have a heart problem.
I would have had a heart problem. So, as the thoughts come in, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, pull down every thought, okay? Well, that is reality. If you don't nip it in the bud at the beginning, you're going to be going for a ride with the enemy. Mm-hmm. And fear will come in, and torment will come in, and he will definitely give you some pain, because fear brings torment. Torment brings pain. They work together. Okay? So, for, I would say, until I got to be 39 and a half, the symptoms finally quit. Because he would quit for a while, and then I would get these pains. And, of course, the thought would immediately come, because, again, he's on my case. What is he? He's a killer. He's a killer. He's a stealer. And he's a liar. Okay. So now, chapter 10, verse 1. The old system of living under the law presented us with only a faint shadow, a crude outline of the reality of the wonderful blessings to come. Even with its steady stream of sacrifices offered year after year, there still was nothing that could be made that could make our hearts perfect before God. So the old covenant was lacking. It needed more. Okay? Verse 2. For if animal sacrifices could once and for all eliminate sin, they would have ceased to be offered, and the worshiper would have clean consciences. A conscience is really a part of your spirit. So when your spirit is free, your conscience is not going to be bugging you. But the liar will try to get you to focus on anything but that. So instead, once was not enough, so by the repetitive sacrifices, year after year, the worshiper were continually reminded of their sins. So who's the reminder of your sins? The enemy. And with their hearts still impure, for what power does the blood of bulls and goats have to remove sin's guilt? I put a star there because it shows you that even those who are still under the law now are constantly under guilt. Guilt and self-condemnation is religion. Okay? I've seen people who walk down to the altar in many of the religious churches, and they repent, and they do it every single week. But there's no change. Because they never identify Holy Spirit to ask Papa to change the heart. See, that's why I read that other verse first. He says, I will. Not you do. I will. So when Jesus the Messiah came, verse 5, into the world, he said, since your ultimate desire was not another animal sacrifice, you have clothed me with a body that I might offer myself instead. Multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice. So now this is really awakening you to the bargain that was made in the heavens before Jesus came into the earth. Okay? So I said to God, so I said to you, God, I will be the one to go and do your will. Now, what about you and me? If Jesus said to God, I will be the one to go and do your will and to fulfill all that is written of me in the Word. Now, notice again now. It's not just for Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jesus was known before he entered Mary's womb. Jeremiah was known by Father to be a prophet, and it was written, and it came to be. Now, here you are. Look at yourself. I will be the one to go and do your will, to fulfill all that is written of me in your word. If you leave that only to Jesus, you've got a problem.
You're right.
Now you better look at the corporate Jesus. Ah. Is the corporate Jesus going to do the same thing that the firstborn son did? And more? Yes. Okay? So, you said to God at some point, in the heavens, before you entered your mother's womb, I will be the one to go and do your will. Does it click in a little bit? Is there a stirring in your belly right now? Then close your eyes and put your hand on your tummy. Say, Jesus is the firstborn. And you clothe him with a body that he might offer himself. And it would take the place of all the burnt offerings and the sin offerings that could never satisfy the justice. So we said to God, we will be the ones to go and do your will and to fulfill all that is written about us in your word. If you're getting an ouch, I pray it's giving you an option to choose. You can either believe it or reject it. You have free will. But if you believe that you have a purpose and that his will is unfolding for you, it will manifest when you least expect it and you get out of his way. To the best of your ability, get out of his way. He's the head. He's directing. And sometimes we argue. Say, Father, have mercy on me.
Father, have mercy on me.
And release grace to me.
And release grace to me.
I will. By an act of my free will.
Complete everything
that you've written about me
in the scrolls.
I want you to put your hand on your chest. Say, Holy Spirit, right now, all discomfort and all the lies that are trying to manipulate me and make me think differently. I pull them down now. And I say, be gone.
I will complete.
the mission, and the giftings and callings that are written about me in your book, it will take place. And it will be with grace. Amen. Number 8. First, he said multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice, even though the law requires them to be offered. And then he said, God, I will be the one to go and do your will. So by being the sacrifice that removes sin, he abolished animal sacrifices and replace that entire system with the new covenant. Yeah. By God's will, we are being purified and made holy. Ah, there's the purpose, right? Verse 10, say it with me. By God's will, I have been purified and made holy. Once and for all, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, my Messiah. That's reality. That takes you from a sinner saved by grace to a new place where you now know you've been made holy. Not you're making yourself holy. You've been made holy. Yes? Yes. Through what Jesus did on that tree for me. Yeah. By the way, you'll get good interest on that word. Yet every day, priests still serve ritual offerings and the same sacrifices again and again. Sacrifices that can never take away sin's guilt. Ah, the religious system that I was in had that whole circle and cycled over and over, week after week, day after day, and never did you have freedom or liberty. Because it was all under the law. But when this priest had offered the one supreme sacrifice for sin for all time, for part time? No. For yesterday? No. For all time. If you don't have a circle there, it might be a wise decision to put a little circle on that one. It's for all time. He sat down on a throne at the right hand of God, waiting until all his whispering enemies. I love the word whispering. Don't you like that? Because, you know, that's how we come. Little whisper here, little whisper there, and hopes that you'll pay attention instead of pulling them down and make it obedient. All his whispering enemies are subdued and turned into his footstool. Woo-hoo! You can walk all over their lives. And by his one perfect sacrifice, he made us perfectly holy and complete for all time. He made me perfectly holy and complete for yesterday? No, for all time. The Holy Spirit confirms this to us by this scripture. For the Lord says, afterwards I will give them this covenant. That's a new agreement that was made. I will embed my laws into their hearts. I will, not me doing it. He will do it. And fasten my word to their thoughts. When you fasten something, it's hooked on and it's cemented or welded, whatever term you want to use. Super glue, fine. Okay? I will embed my laws into their hearts and fasten my word to their thoughts. And then he says, I will not ever again remember their sins and lawless deeds. So, if our sin has been forgiven and forgotten, why would we ever need to offer another sacrifice for sin? Wasted time and energy. Going around a ritual. And at one time, I would have had a problem with this. Because I believe the traditions of men. And there's a big difference between the traditions of men and God's holy will. And what he did through Christ Jesus is never fully explained in the religious system.
It's almost like they haven't read the scriptures.
Tell me about it. Okay. I would say this is about 2 years after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I had round, by that time, I probably have read the Bible cover to cover. I don't know. I'm guessing. Maybe 6 times, 5 times, whatever it is. Okay? Because when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I couldn't sleep. Sleep was just not something that would happen. And so I would end up in the Word, the middle of the night, and I would read till 2, 3, 4 o'clock, and then I'd sleep for a couple hours and get back up and go to work. So it was being grafted into my heart. I believe he was embedding it. Okay? So now, the priest, we did the worship. We were right next to him. His pulpit was here. And the worship team was here. And so he gives a message about the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you make sure you don't leave. You stay after everybody else is leaving. So, you know, the altar boys came in and they cleaned up and so on and so forth, and I'm waiting. The kids are gone. And so I now know that there might be 1 or 2 people in church. So I go in the back of the sacristy and I said, do you have a couple of minutes? He says, yeah, come on to the house. So we went to the rectory, which was right next door. And so I said, well, you know, the gospel that you read today, there's an issue. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, you made a comment that this has never happened since then. And that's not true. It's happened to me. So what are you going to do with me? Everything that you read, I've experienced. Oh, he says, that can't be. I said, well, I'm telling you, are you calling me a liar? It happened. I know what God has done in me. I know that that comment that you made today was not right. I said, I'm not blaming you. I'm educating you. I said, haven't you read the Bible? And out of his mouth. Now, he went to the Grand Central Seminary in Montreal for I don't know how many years before he became a priest. Okay? He said, we were never allowed to read the Bible. I said, well, it lies. Yeah. He said, we read the books that identified what the Bible says. But to read the Bible was against the law. That was against the law until 1960.
I thought Martin Luther did away with that, but he didn't, did he?
So what am I saying to you? When a priest is there doing his ritual, he is going by what men have told him to do in obedience, and they do it out of choice, if you wish. And they're not allowed. So, of course, you know me, all right? My mouth opened. I said, well, what's your excuse now? Oh, yeah. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I said, what I have, you need. I said, we have priests in the charismatic renewal who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 is not a dead scripture. It's alive. I don't remember the details of what I said, but the gist of what I'm saying is I did not let it sit idle. Oh, he says, I'll try. I said, great. That's wonderful. Because, you know, I knew he was pushing me out the door. I am not judging the man. The man was doing what he was told to do, and he believed he was right. Okay? I did pray for him. Whatever that meant. Verse 19. Our confidence before God. And now, we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus, and he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realms boldly and without hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. Not the old way, feeling useless and powerless and a zero with the circle rubbed out? No, totally wrong. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity. So if you're aware of something that's still lagging or pulling you down or lying, claim the blood of Jesus to remove that impurity. And we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. Say now. I am clean, unstained, presentable to God, inside and out. Kind of cool, huh? So now, wrap your hearts tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Discover creative ways to encourage others, to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works of expressions of love. That is not the time. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. I hear in my heart, it's time to close it. You've got what he wanted to give you. So I'm going to ask you again, put your right hand, one over your heart and the other one over your memory banks in the back of your head. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
your word says that when I lay hands,
your word says when I lay hands,
that you would do the healing. I'm laying my hands now, releasing healing to my heart and my memory banks, so that this new adventure of freedom that you've already paid for on that tree for me, I'm claiming the benefits, and I'm releasing myself to rest as you transform me and change me from where I was. I am now under this new covenant, and Jesus will embed in my laws, into my heart, and fasten his word to my thoughts. And he will not ever again remember my sins and lawless deeds. It's done. Hallelujah. It's done. Hallelujah. It's truly done. Hallelujah.